First Kings chapter 22. Let's go from verse 19. And Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, all the hosts of heaven standing by him, and on his right and on his left. The Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?' And one of this while another said that. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will entice him.' The Lord said to him, 'How?' And he said, 'I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.' Then he said, 'You are to entice him and also prevail. Go and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets, and the Lord has proclaimed disaster against you.' Then Zedekiah the son of Chenaiah came near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, 'How did the spirit of the Lord pass from me to speak to you?' And Micaiah said, 'Behold, you shall see on that day when you enter an inner room to hide yourself.' Then the king of Israel said, 'Take Micaiah and return him to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus says the king, put this man in prison and feed him sparingly with bread and water until I return safely.' And Micaiah said, 'If you indeed return safely, the Lord has not spoken by me.' And he said, 'Listen, all you people.' So the king of Judah and Jehoshaphat, king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up against Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'I will disguise myself and go into the battle, but you put on your robes.' So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. Now the king of Aram had commanded the 32 captains of his chariots, saying, 'Do not fight with small or great, but with the king of Israel alone.' So it came about when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, 'Surely it is the king of Israel.' And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. Then it happened when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel in a joint of the armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, 'Turn around and take me out of the fight, for I am severely wounded.' And the battle raged that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot in front of the Arameans and died at evening, and the blood of the wound ran into the bottom of the chariot. Then a cry passed throughout the army close to sunset, saying, 'Every man to his city and every man to his country.' So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And they washed the chariot by the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood. Now the harlots bathed themselves there, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke. Now the rest of Ahab, and okay, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, amen. Now, we have a really interesting episode that occurs that I think we can draw a few lessons from. You know, one, you guys remember, this is Ahab's third campaign as he fights Aram. And if you remember, you know, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, Israel and Judah is divided now, right, after David and after Solomon. And so, and as a result of this, we have basically Israel, which is considered evil, right? If you remember, there are no good kings in the whole reign of the kingdom of Israel, right? But the kingdom of Judah, it was like half and half, right? And Jehoshaphat actually was a good king. And so they're coming together and they're asking, you know, should we fight, you know, in Ramoth-Gilead? Should we go up in battle? All the prophets, you know, they say, sure, go up. You're going to win. God's going to give you, you know, this victory, et cetera, et cetera. And Jehoshaphat, because he's a godly man, he realizes, you know what? I want to hear from a real prophet, you know, or I want to get not just, you know, your prophets, but I want to hear from a real man of God. Obviously, you know, Jehoshaphat, he had some kind of discernment, you know, and so, you know, the story continues on. They find Micaiah. Micaiah basically says that, no, you're going to die. If you go up to battle, you're going to lose. And in fact, this is a plot that the Lord actually put together, you know, to put a deceiving spirit in the mouths of the prophets. And so then we get to this episode at verse 29. Now, notice something interesting, okay? Jehoshaphat, the good king, seemingly the discerning king, he goes and he says, well, I want to hear from the prophet. The prophet comes and he says, you're going to lose. But what does Jehoshaphat do? He goes into battle anyway, okay? You know, this is something that we can learn very easily just from simple obedience, you know? I wonder, when I read this passage, right, sometimes I wonder, was Jehoshaphat, was he really seeking the word of the Lord? You know, or was this just some kind of spiritual ritual that he goes through? You know, was he, I mean, did he really want to hear God's answer? You know, or was Jehoshaphat just really used to, you know, like when he makes a decision, you know, he goes and sees a prophet, you know, or he goes and do this and that. You know, and I think it should speak to us on some levels as well. You know, when we're really seeking the Lord, are we really seeking an answer? Are we going through a religious ritual that we do? You know, you're changing jobs, and last time you changed a job, you fasted, so you fast again. You know, or, you know, you want some counsel, and so you go and meet, you know, XYZ people, and this is kind of what you always do, right? You know, is that what amounts to us seeking the Lord, or is there something more profound in it? You know, and for Jehoshaphat's case, unfortunately, it was just a common ritual. You know, oh yeah, go tell the prophet. He, you know, he must have been very used to this kind of spiritual, you know, program that he follows, because he doesn't follow the word of the Lord. So Micaiah says, "You're gonna die," you know, and this is gonna be really bad. And the whole episode is actually pretty in your face, right? You know, so Chennai, you know, the head of the prophets over, you know, Israel, slaps him across the face. You know, and basically says, well, God, you know, spoke to you, didn't speak to me. I mean, ridiculous in his mind. You know, and so, you know, Jehoshaphat knew exactly what's going on. And now, isn't it interesting? The good king, right, did not hear the words of the prophet. The bad king listened to the words of Micaiah. And so he comes and, you know, this is when the Bible talks about, you know, that the people of this world are more shrewder than the sons of the kingdom. This is exactly one of those passages, right? Here's this evil king that actually listens to the prophet, you know, and so he goes on and he disguises himself. He says, what a clever guy, right? Jehoshaphat, why don't you go out and you go in all your array and splendor and you be the king, and I'm going to disguise myself. And then stupid Jehoshaphat, he just listens anyway. I don't really understand this guy. He goes off, they go into battle, right? And then there's a death warrant on the king of Israel, right? The guy tells the captains, okay, don't fight anybody. You go after the king. You know, you strike him down. And so, you know the story. They chase Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat did the only thing that you should do when you get into this kind of situation. Even if you're disobedient, even if you just follow religious ritual, Jehoshaphat, what do you do? He cries out. You know, he probably peed in his pants. You know, he's screaming, God, help me. And what does God do? Does God say, Jehoshaphat, you idiot, you know, you didn't listen to my prophet? What's wrong with you, man? You know, Jehoshaphat, you disobedient king, you know, forget it. Right? No, God comes to his rescue, and he quickens the eyes of the captains, and they realize, oh, this is not the king of Israel. How did they know that? Who knows, right? I believe it was the Lord, you know, and so they turn, and this is the thing, right? So then the word is very particular, right? He says, a certain man, in other words, this is a random guy. He puts his arrow, and he shoots his arrow, right? I mean, this is just talking about total randomness, right? Shoots an arrow, and the arrow actually hits. If you know the armor, right? These guys, right? The armor is pretty set, right? But where the joints of the armor are, you know, there are certain places where it allows the guy to move, and this arrow happens to hit exactly in that joint. This is the only vulnerable part of this guy's armor. Right, and he's not wearing just cheap armor. This guy's wearing, you know, Ahab's wearing the choicest of armor, and this random arrow just happens to hit right inside the joint, you know, which causes his death. You know, interesting, right? You can never outfox God. You know what I mean? You know, and people try to do that all the time. They always try to be more clever than the Lord. You know, some scheme or some device or not, one of these things. You can never, you know, out-clever God. Remember, the scriptures tell us that, you know, that the wisdom of man is foolishness. Or I should say the other way, the foolishness of God is better than the wisdom of men. Right? And so you can never, but this, I mean, random arrow comes in and he dies, and obviously it's the prophetic word, right? The dogs will lick his blood and all these things happen and Ahab dies. Well, what can we, you know, what can we draw from this thing? You know, one, you know, very simply is listen to the prophets, obviously. You know, and make it a course that if you're seeking after counsel, you know, let it, you know, or seeking the Lord, let it not just be a religious ritual, you know. Let it be an act of obedience on our part. You know, some of us, I mean, honestly speaking, we are so set on what we want to do. You know, like, you know, okay, Lord, should I move to this job or should I date this person? Or, you know, you're so set. You've already made your decision, but you're just going through religious protocol. Oh, yeah, I should pray. You know, I should maybe fast. Maybe I should talk to a prophetic person, right? You know, we're so set in our mind, right, that we've already made our mind, you know, about whatever the issue may be, but we're just going through religious protocol, you know. And honestly, you know, to be perfectly honest, most Christians here at Solomon's Porch, you know, that really want to love God and all these kind of things, this issue will be the one that traps them up because they've already made up their mind. You know, and they're good enough people to know that, okay, they should go through the process of coming to a decision, but the mind's already made up. You know, and then sure enough, they go date this person or, you know, or they do something, and it's just the dumbest decision that they made. You know, and then 5-6 months later, they realize, you know, and now they're at this place like, I thought I heard God. You know, I thought, et cetera, et cetera, on and on and on, right? And it brings us into a huge mess, you know, and the result of what happens is you lose intimacy with the Lord, you know, because not only did you walk in disobedience, you know, to the Lord, but now you totally are puzzled and confused about your relationship with God. You know, I've had some people say, well, why would God do this to me? You know, and I just reply, well, you did it to yourself. You know, but, you know, this is a very common thing. And so Joshua falls. I think Joshua, they wanted to go to war. You know, I mean, he's thinking, I got the king of Israel. These guys rarely work together, right? The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom rarely work together. And now they come to this place, and I think he wanted to win. He wanted to fight. You know, he wanted some glory. He already made up his mind, no matter what, you know, the prophets said or whatnot. So you gotta be obedient, you know. Don't just go through religious protocol. You know, I see this all the time, you know, and I'm very aware of this because I see this in my own heart all the time too. You know, it's like you've already made it your mind, but you go through the protocol anyway, you know, and nothing's going to change you, even a prophetic word from a high-level prophet. And so, you know, these words come. The other side, the other flip side, you know, we look at Ahab, you know, and here he is, right, disguises himself. You know, he listened to the words of the prophet. He did much better than Micaiah did, or I'm sorry, than Ahab did. But yet, right, the word of the Lord is going to stand. You know, regardless of situation, regardless of one person's obedient, the other person's disobedient, regardless of any of these things, this is what we call the sovereignty of God. God's going to do it, you know, in some way, in some fashion. He wants to do it through you, but he will very easily use somebody else as well. But the horrible thing in that is that no one could do it like you can do it. You know, so don't get bypassed in essence. You know, walk in obedience and see what God does. Right. So let's close our eyes for a second. I know I didn't do this passage justice in our short time. There's so much there. But ask yourself this question. As you're seeking the Lord, or you may be seeking the Lord for something, or whatever it may be, and I think it even happens in terms of our quiet times and our prayer times, that we're prone to a religious ritual. We're prone to a religious protocol instead of really seeking the face of the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us. As we're seeking Him, have we already made up our minds on a subject and now just going through a ritual? Are we being swayed by our feelings instead of the voice of God? Are we being swayed by our hormones more than the prophetic word of the Lord? And the great thing, like Jehoshaphat, all we can do is cry out. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I want relationship. And just be drawn near to Him in that way. Let's meditate on that as Jisun leads us in a song.
Servant.
Let's pray. Let's pray for a heart of obedience. No matter what. That no matter what it's going to cost us in terms of our reputation or our feelings or, you know, any of those things. Let's really cry out for a heart that just obeys, that we don't just go through a religious ritual or some kind of spiritual protocol, but that when we really seek the Lord, we seek the Lord's answer, regardless of what it costs us and regardless of what it's going to make us look like. Let's go to the Lord and let's just pray for that, for ourselves and for our community. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for Star Street and Seymour Road and Lan Kwai Fong. Let's ask the Lord to bless our leaders and to use them. And as new people are joining in, let's pray for a stronger sense of community and a bond. And just the grace of God will come over each of our meetings tonight. Let's pray. Let's pray for our retreat coming up. Let's ask the Lord to just really, that we're coming to a place where we'll just really encounter Him. Let's pray for our guest speaker, Dan. He got his China visa and his ticket, and he's all ready to go. And so let's pray now that the Lord would just put the words of the Lord in his heart for us, and that He would speak messages that just hit us, I mean, right between the teeth, that it would just be the now word for our community, and that we would have an open hearts to really receive all that God has for us. And let's pray that people will continue to sign up, and that they would just really be convicted as a part of this community to come alongside of the vision and the things that God is doing here. And, you know, schedules would clear up and all kinds of stuff would happen. You know, that we just have an awesome time in Nansha. Let's just cover it. If I could ask you to pray for our church building and our move and whatnot. Our applications are all in with the government, and so it's just going through different departments, and it just takes a bit of time. But I'm actually having lunch today with a person, and you know, actually a possibility to actually move at the end of this year to an interim site. You know, a much better space for us, bigger space. And so I have a lunch, I think, at 12:45 today, and to really discuss and come to some terms, hopefully. And, you know, and everything works well, you know, maybe by January we'll be moved into a new place. And so then we don't have to start that third service. And so let's just really pray. Pray for favor, you know, pray for that God would just move, you know, on this organization. Lord really speak to them and to us. And as we talk, and there'd just be a lot of grace and a lot of favor. All right. So let's pray for the lunch and just put in general, just pray for our move all together and our fundraising and all that kind of stuff. Huh? Father, we thank you, God. We bless you today, Lord. God, as the people of God, Lord, we don't want to just go through religious activities, God. Lord, we want to seek your face. Lord, we want to be people, God, that Lord, want to hear from you, God, more than we want to do what we want to do. And so, Lord, would you continue to speak to us, God? And then when we've gone astray, Lord, give us the strength to cry out, God, for rescue. We thank you for your faithfulness, God, that you always come. And so watch over us, watch over our community, watch over our meeting today, God. And Lord, we really do need to move, Father. It's just too packed in here, God. And so we thank you for the favor and all that, Lord. But God, but we want people to really continue to draw near to you, Father God. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd open the doors, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Watch over us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. And please stick around and pray on your own.